If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 6 in just a second. We'll look at verse 15 or verse 5 and following. I sure have enjoyed being with you, and I am going to have to leave after our service pretty quickly. I'm preaching somewhere at 12:30 in Martin, Tennessee, so I got to slip out. But Todd, thank you for having me, and all you guys have been such a sweet hostesses and hostess and whatever. People caring for you. They've been doing a great job. And I've talked to you all week about prayer. And I want to throw something out. And I couldn't care less about whether or not you buy a book or not. But I wrote a book. I wrote down a 12-chapter book. It's only about 110 pages. It's really made to be used in a Sunday school or a Bible study setting. It's called Pray Like It Matters. You can get it on Amazon. I think it's $5 for the paperback. It's like $2.50 for the Kindle. But it has the main things that I teach about prayer in it. It's 12 chapters on there. One of the chapters is about how to pray and invite Christ to come into your life. One is also, two or three of the chapters are about praying and worshiping God through the names of God in the Bible. There's a chapter in there about praying for people to be healed. That's something that a lot of people talk about, and I wrote down there what I believe the Bible teaches on that. So if you want to pick that up, Pray Like It Matters, I would encourage you to do that. I want to talk to you, and I'm just going to take about 20 minutes right now. At the end, I want us to have an invitation time to encourage you to commit to pray. I want to say this to you. In the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, right in the heart of it is this beautiful text by Jesus on prayer. And I believe that's purposeful. The greatest preacher ever to preach, greatest sermon ever preached, right in the middle, right at its heart, is prayer. And I want to say this to you. Prayer is to be at the heart of every Christian. If you don't remember anything else I say, prayer is the most important discipline in your life. And I don't care what else you're doing. If you're not praying, you are not living for God the way He wants you to live. If you're not talking with Him and listening to Him, that is the essence of a relationship. And whether it's human or whether it's with God, you've got to learn to talk with God. And so I want to encourage you. And let's just see what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, the play actors, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, on the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you... when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, literally the evil ones, talking about Satan. And He says, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. And then this beautiful word, amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And whenever, not if, but whenever you fast, Jesus fasted, His disciples fasted, Jesus wants you as a Christian to practice the discipline of fasting. Whenever you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that you will not be, they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, that's all the reward they're going to get. They have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Few things about prayer. Number one, it is Godward, not manward. Prayer is for God. It's not to impress people. And the quicker you learn that, the better. Jesus said, when you pray, spoken emphatically there, He said, I expect you to pray. Not if, but when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites. That's a word for, it's literally a Greek, a transliteration from the Greek word. It's exactly that. Hypocrites, and it means a pretender, a play actor. And they would have these masks back then. If you ever go to the Holy Land or over there, you'll see that they had these theaters and they had these masks because the people could hear well, but they couldn't see very well the expressions on people's faces, no screens, okay? And so they would sit there, and if there was, they had a happy face, they'd put a happy face up in front of them. If they put, had a sad, they were trying to have a sad moment, they would put a sad face, and Jesus said, don't be like that. Don't be like the people that wear the masks. Don't be a play actor. Don't be a pretender. Be sincere, not duplicitous and phony when you engage in prayer. Don't be like them, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. I've been a pastor over 30 years. I've had people say, does that mean God doesn't want us to stand when we pray? He's not talking about your posture, okay? He's talking about your heart being sincere. There are a lot of great people in the Bible that stood and God heard their prayers. But these people were praying that they might be seen by men, Jesus said. Their prayer was manward. He said, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. Inner room, what is that? It's where the Jews would hide their most valuable possessions. It's where they would store their most precious treasures. Jesus said, you go into that inner room, that most important room in your house. How many of you saw the movie The War Room? Anybody see that room? She kept talking about, if you hadn't seen it, seen the room, have you seen the movie, all right? You need to go see the movie. If you hadn't seen it, it is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my life. And this lady prayed in this prayer room. At the end of the story, a pastor buys their home. He walks into that prayer room where she's prayed for decades, and he comes back out. He walks back in. His eyes are open up. He comes back out. He said, all I can tell you is somebody has been praying in there. Do you have a war room? Do you have an inner room? Do you have a place where you spend time with God? Jesus said, go into that inner room. It's the most precious room in your house, not because of the valuables there, because your greatest valuable, your Father will meet you in that room. And you'll do the most valuable business you can do. It was a very understandable analogy that Jesus was saying to these Jews. Close your door. Why? Intimacy. When you love someone, you want to be intimate with them, you close the door and for privacy and just to be able to be alone with God and pray to your Father who is in secret. Nobody knows about it. You don't go around and say, I'm about to go pray. No, you go be with God. Only your Father knows. And your Father who is in secret will, dare we say it, reward you. Oh, he's preaching works. No, he's not. He's saying exactly what the writer of Hebrews 11:6 says. When he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to say this to you. Some things will happen in your life only if you pray. Some of you will have not because you ask not. Some of you are going to leave a lot on the table because you don't spend time with God. You spend time on Twitter. You spend time on all Instagram, all these, you got time for everything else. Let me tell you something. You make time for what is most important, and the most important thing in your life, not just if you're a preacher, but ought to be Jesus Christ, spending time with him. You've got time to do it if you will discipline yourself to go into your inner room. Jesus talked about, remember that story he told in Luke 18 about a Pharisee, and the Bible says he told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness, scorned everybody else. I met some folks like that. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. One was the other, a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everybody else. Now, you know, when you start your prayer like that, you are messed up. For I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I don't. I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. Oh, Lord, I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. Lord, you are lucky to have me. But the tax collector stood at a distance, dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. He prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Wrong translation. I am the sinner. The definite article is there. I tell you, Jesus said, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. I want to encourage you, get alone with God. Shut your door. Do some business with God. Prayer is Godward. It's not manward. And the time you spend in secret with God is not wasted time. It'll be the most precious time you'll ever spend in your life. And then prayer is natural, not rehearsed. Natural, not rehearsed. He said in verses 7, I've got to press on. He said in verse 7 and 8, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition. English Standard Version, don't heap up empty phrases. NIV, don't keep on babbling like pagans. New Living Translation, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. He says, for they suppose, verse 7, they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. New Living Translation, they think their prayers are answered merely because they repeat their words again and again. Jesus said in verse 8, don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I'm a child of the 70s, and I remember when this song came out by a former Beatle, George Harrison, in 1970. It was called My Sweet Lord. And I even remember that they did it to the tune of a previous hit by the Chiffons called He's So Fine. It's the same tune. I'm not going to sing them to you, and you'll give thanks. All right. But My Sweet Lord was built on a mantra from a religion known as the Hare Krishnas. And in that song, he gives this mantra. It's sung repeatedly. I think it's just a few words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said, that's crazy. Well, it referred, as far as the Krishnas were concerned, to the great God. Actually, three names for God there, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. And when they were repeating this, their devotees, over and over, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They just keep on going and going. Vain repetition, that's what I'm talking about. You say, well, we don't do that. We don't? We don't? I think we've got our own Hare Hares. You ever heard this? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You say you're picking on the Catholics. I'll pick on us later, okay? If you're Catholic, I'm not trying to beat you up. Number one, you shouldn't be praying to Mary. She's not listening. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but you don't pray to Mary. But also, I mean, Hail Mary. I mean, do you know what that means in football? It's the last game, last play, rather, and you don't really have much of a chance. You know, that's the way a lot of people pray. Well, I've done everything else. I guess I'll just pray. I'll just throw it up, and maybe somebody will catch it. That's the way a lot of people pray. Now, you say, well, we don't do that. Yes, we do. I did it when I was playing football. We'd be using a lot of it wrong, foul language. All of a sudden, coach came, okay, boys, let's take a knee. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed, you know, kingdom come, the will be done on earth as in heaven. Just say like that. And didn't bit more think I was talking to God than a man in the moon. And then get up and say, let's go out there. And I can't tell you what the rest we'd say. That's where I was living for the Lord, if you're concerned. But we also teach our children to pray little prayers that don't mean anything. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I heard about a little girl that said, you know what? After about 5 weeks of saying that, she said, I'm kind of tired of this. She literally put it on a recording, and before she went to bed, just played it and said, God, let's listen to this. You know? That's the way some of you might be. You just say the same old thing all the time. If every day I woke up and Donna said the same thing to me over and over again, I would say, woman, what is wrong with you? Why? Can we have a conversation, a little give and take? Listen, when you're talking to God, you might talk about some of the same things sometimes, but you don't say the exact same thing all the time. Vain repetition. Vain repetition. And if you're unconsciously moving your lips without thinking about what you're saying, you're not praying. And that can be not just Hare Hare Krishna Krishna. It can be somebody praying in a chapel. It can be somebody, whatever. I just want to encourage you. Engage your heart when you pray. Let it be natural, not rehearsed. And then very quickly, prayer is multifaceted, not one-dimensional. The Lord's Prayer, I don't think, was meant to be prayed verbatim. Nothing wrong with doing that, but I don't think that's why he gave it. I think it was a Hebrew didactic tool, teaching them a rabbinical way of, here's the various types of prayer. It starts off with praise. He said, pray then in this way. He didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, pray then in this way. Praise. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You start by praising the Lord. You go back and you find some of the names in the Bible. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Sidkenu. He's the Lord our righteousness. Jesus has all these I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the true vine. Praise him that he's the true vine and that you're one of the branches. You want to abide in him, for apart from him you can do nothing. Just start learning to praise God according to his name. That's the door. The door you walk into when you come into the prayer closet is the door of praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, the psalmist said in Psalm 100 verse 4, and into his courts with praise. Thank him, bless him, for the Lord is good. And then, not only praise, but it's also multifaceted, there's submission. One of the things you do when you pray is you say, God, before I say anything else, after I praise you, I give you a blank piece of paper, and whatever you want, the answer is yes, I submit. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just like Mary, behold, I'm the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the way we're supposed to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then there's petition and intercession. Give us this day our daily bread. Petition, praying for your own needs. Intercession, praying for the needs of others. And praying one day at a time. God, give us this day our daily bread. God, meet our needs. Lord, take care of what we have, what we need, and give us what we need. And then confession. Forgive us our debts, our transgressions, as we have forgiven our debtors. All Christians sin, and when we sin, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose our fellowship with God. And we should say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, I don't want that in my life. I had a lady tell my wife years ago, fess them as you does them, don't bunch them. And that means don't come and say, God, forgive me for all my sins. No, go back and say, Lord, I told a lie. Forgive me for that lie. I mean, get real specific, all right? And confess your sins, repent of them. And then there's this prayer of protection. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Two emphases here. Prayer of prevention. Don't lead us into temptation. Think through your day. I've already done it. Lord, I'm thinking through my day. Where might I be tempted today? Lord, go ahead of me. You're as much in the future as you are in the past, as you are in the present. So go ahead of me, pray over your whole day, and say, God, I want you to be there, and don't let me enter into temptation. And Lord, also, let me engage in spiritual warfare. Deliver me from the evil one. I know people who say something that to me is, I can't even fathom what they're trying to think. They say, well, I got saved. The devil doesn't bother me anymore. Look at me. The devil bothered Jesus. Who do you think you are? The devil bothered Paul. Who do you think you are? Yes, if you get saved, the devil will come after you and bother you. But praise God, we have victory. We have all kinds of weapons. We've got the Word of God. We've got the blood of Jesus through which we overcome the accuser of the brethren. We've got the whole armor of God. We gird our loins with truth, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, take up the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He can't handle the Word of God. And then we pray at all times. Listen, we've got an arsenal. We need to turn it loose and not fear the enemy. We need to fear God only. And we need to be in God's presence. Look at me. The more time you spend with God, the less man will impress you and the less the devil will intimidate you. I just said something really good. I'm just telling you. Amen belong there, all right? The more time you spend with God, the less you'll be impressed with any man and the less you'll be intimidated by any devil or demon. You just spend time with God. He's the one who will impress you. And then you go out the same door you entered in when you leave the prayer closet. You praise. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. And then you agree with God. You say, amen. If you're in the 60s, right on, so be it. If you're from Alabama, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. You need to learn these biblical words. Let's just say a few of them. I want you to say it pretty loud, okay? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
that's pretty good for a Baptist. Not bad. Wouldn't cut it in some places, but it was pretty good for a Baptist. All right, how about amen on three? One, two, three. Amen. I just don't want you to get to heaven and not know how to talk, all right? And by the way, if you don't like loud, don't die. It's loud in eternity, all right? So I want to encourage you. Spend time with God. All these different kinds of prayers. And then a fourth thing, prayer requires forgiveness and renounces unforgiveness. You can't hold a grudge. He said in verses 14 to 15, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgression. Well, what does that mean? I had a Greek professor named Dr. Munn. He would lower his little glasses down the end of his nose. I don't see how he must have had a little track in there holding that last little piece on, because it would be all the way down there. He said, it means what it says. If you don't forgive other people, God's not going to forgive you. It doesn't mean you're going to go to hell, but it does mean you're going to be out of the will of God. He said, well, I'll forgive other people when they ask for it. Jesus didn't wait on that. He said on the cross, while they were crucifying him and spitting on him and cursing him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what. Listen, when you forgive somebody, it's not reconciliation. That takes both parts. You can't control reconciliation, but you can control forgiveness. And your job is to clear it up and to say, you know what? On my behalf, I forgive you, because I don't want to be in a cage of unforgiveness. I want to be forgiven. And that's not the only motive, but you know what? It is a good motive. How many of you want God to forgive you? Anybody? Then you know what you got to do. You got to do what? What do you have to do for others? Forgive them. That's what Jesus said. Prayer requires forgiveness. And then one more thing. Prayer requires fasting. I don't have time to really talk about it. I recommended a buddy's book the other day on reading a praying scripture, Donald Whitney's book on praying the Bible. I want to encourage you to pick up his book on spiritual disciplines. It has the best. There it is right there. Thank you for putting that up. These are my two favorite books on fasting. Bill Bright wrote, he started Campus Crusade, great man of God. And this is one of the greatest books on fasting you'll ever read. And then Whitney has a great chapter on fasting. I don't know of anything better than these two books to get you down the road. You say, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. When I think of fasting, I think of some guy, you know, with a little dot on his head. He's bald and he's some kind of Hindu or something. Look at, when you think of fasting, you need to start thinking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fasted. Jesus' disciples fasted. About everybody that God used in the Bible fasted. It is doing without food for a spiritual purpose, to spend time with God. That's all it is. That's all it is. And it is expected of every Christian. Jesus said, when the bridegroom is gone, they will fast. Hey, the bridegroom's gone right now. He's not here. He's coming back. I'm looking forward to it. But you need to fast. And I just would encourage you to pick up those books, because Jesus said, whenever you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. They neglect their appearance. They may be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I can tell you this. There are some things that will only come out, Mark, the Gospel of Mark says, only will come out by fasting. Only by fasting. So I want to encourage you. It's like in Star Wars when they put it in at hyperspeed, whatever it is, and they're gone. Something about fasting that changes the power in your prayer. Some of you have things right now. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I pray about it. Listen, if regular prayer won't do it, add fasting to it and watch God change and move your mountain. Now, we got just a little time. And I want us to do something. Guys, come back up if you will. I want you to join me, and we're going to do something a little bit old-fashioned. Stand up, if you will. Todd, I want you to stand with me, if you would. And I'm telling you right now, look at me. I want to go, whatever it is, I want to go to the next level in my prayer life, whatever that is. And the good thing about prayer is the ground is level at the prayer closet. If you've been saved 5 minutes, you can pray. You've got just as much right and just as much Holy Ghost in you crying out to Abba Father as anybody else. And you ought to say, this is where I want to go. I want to say this to you. You need to make prayer the priority of your life. Everything falls. Talking with God should be the priority of your life. So I'm just going to ask you, and you can do it any way you want to do it. I'm going to ask you, because all of you, you're young. I know we got some parents here. You say, I'm not young. I understand. I'm with you. I understand. But if it's physically possible, here's what I want you to say. You say, I want to go to the next level in my prayer life. For some of you, that's just to start praying every day. You don't do that every day. You don't even come close. I'm not down on you. I'm just being honest with you. You know this is the truth. It's time to get engaged in prayer. For some of you, you've got a pretty good prayer life. It can always go to another level. Just say, God, whatever it is, I want to go to the next level. And during this time, we're going to worship. Let's sing that Holy Spirit song just one more time. And while we're doing that, I just want you to close your eyes at least one time during this time. And as sincerely as you can, talk to the Lord and say, Lord, my prayer life, tell him what it's like. Be honest. For some of you, say, Lord, my prayer life stinks. I haven't prayed hardly at all. And I'm always worried. I'm always uptight. I'm always anxious. I can be around somebody and know whether or not they've been praying. You know why? They're just a mess. They're uptight. They're nervous. See, when you pray, you lay your issues before the Lord. You get a peace that passes all understanding. It's one of the greatest things in the world. It's supernatural. This is the Christian life, by the way. This is it. And so we're going to sing about the Holy Spirit, because when you pray, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus prayed, the heavens were open at his baptism and the Spirit of God comes down. God, the Holy Spirit, does not come down on prayerless people, prayerless churches, or prayerless universities. How many of you would like to see the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, really come down on Union University? Anybody? I'm going to tell you, it's no secret. It's not rocket science. You got to start praying. Where prayer focuses, God's power and presence falls. So you need to right now say, God, I'm going to go to that next level. And when you get through, just worship God, okay? We're going to worship the Lord, and that's how we'll end these 3 days, all right? And then I got to go to Martin, okay? But who cares about that? Let's ask God to fall right now. Holy Spirit, let's sing to him right now. There's nothing worth more. Everybody sing. give him praise right now. Just worship the Lord right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. With your heads bowed, just with your heads bowed, if you sincerely want to go to that next level, just pray this with me. Just pray this after me. I don't know how to do it any other way, but just say, Lord Jesus, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I've had a blast. Thank you for letting me be here. God bless you. I got to get. Thanks for coming. Love you. Appreciate it.